Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. Here now is the most recent message.
I was at the store a couple days ago in the checkout line, and there was a couple in front of me, an older couple. I guess I gotta be careful if I say older or not. I just had a birthday a few months ago. I'm creeping up there as well. And the cashier was a nice gal, and she was just talking, making conversation with the couple in front of me. And she said to them, "So, are you two misbehaving?" And I thought that was an interesting question. Are you two misbehaving? And they joked back and they said, "Yes, we are. We're misbehaving. Life's too short to, you know, live a behaved life." I'm almost tempted to ask you that question. Are you guys misbehaving? I'm afraid some of the answers I might get in return. Speaking of misbehaving, we want to look in our Bibles to Micah chapter 6. Turn in your Bibles to Micah chapter 6. We are in a series that I am calling Questions That Matter. And we're looking at some of the important questions that we see and read about in the Bible. For a long time, I just kind of skipped over these questions. And I didn't think they were of much significance. And it's only been recently that God has really had me look at the questions that are asked in the Bible that cause us to think and really we need to answer. And so Micah, he was a contemporary of Isaiah. We talked about Isaiah last week. But Micah was talking to a group of people who were misbehaving. And he was raised up by God to proclaim God's word to his people who had fallen away from the commands and decrees of God. And when people do that, when God's people did that in the Bible, God would raise up prophets who would speak for God and basically say, "Guys, you've strayed off the path that God has for you, and it's time to get on the right path." Does that sound familiar? I mean, I think, live in a wonderful country, but in many ways we have strayed off the path that God has for this country and for his people. Micah chapter 6, there's a couple of questions here, and then the main question I'll get to, but I'm going to have you do something that I typically don't do and I probably should do more often. I'm going to have you stand as I read God's word this morning out of respect, because the very first words that we're going to read here in Micah chapter 6 verse 1 are, "Listen to what the Lord says." And I think when we stand out of respect for God's word, we tend to listen a little bit more clearly and give ear to what God says. Remember, these words were written about 700 years before Christ was born. Ancient Israelites, ancient words, and so some of the language and terminology and imagery is foreign to us, but let's let Micah speak to us today, even as he spoke many, many years ago. "Listen to what the Lord says. Stand up. Plead your case before the mountains. Let the hills hear what you have to say. Hear, O mountains, the Lord's accusation. Listen, you everlasting foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a case against his people. He is lodging a charge against Israel." And here's a couple questions that God asks. And it's almost as if God is baffled. Listen to these questions that God asks. "My people, what have I done to you?" Remember, God is looking down on heaven and his people have so strayed from him, he's asking, "What have I done to you that you would turn your back on me? How have I burdened you? Answer me. Verse 4. I brought you up out of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. I sent Moses to lead you, also Aaron and Miriam. My people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, counseled and what Balaam, son of Beor, answered. Remember your journey from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the righteous acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Verse 8. He has showed you, O man, what is good. And here's the question I want for us to focus on this morning. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Father, let us hear these words that you have proclaimed through the prophet Micah. And may we not just hear these words, but may we take them to heart. May we ask ourselves, God, what is it that you require of me? And may we see and hear and understand and put to practice what it is you indeed require of your people. And all God's people said, amen, amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Micah, the prophet, you may remember, is the one who just a chapter earlier prophesied in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, that the coming Messiah would be born in the town of Bethlehem. Micah 5, 2, but you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, the ancient times. This was 700 or so years before Jesus was born, and Micah was raised up by God to be a prophet, to proclaim God's plan of redemption for his people. And he prophesied hundreds of years before it actually happened that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. And so looking back now on this side of history, we can see with credibility Micah's words. He was truly a man of God. But the people back then had a problem. They had strayed from God, as we all have, and maybe as some still are. We have this human, sinful tendency to stray from God, don't we? We just do. It's human nature. And God, out of his loving kindness, will raise up people. He'll put people in our lives. He'll bring you to church. He'll do whatever he can to draw you close to him, to kind of reset us and bring us back to where we need to be. We all need it. We're all human. We need to be reminded and taught and led how to follow God in the path that he has for us. That's an act of grace. God loves us so much that he wants to bring us back to walk the straight and narrow. But there's a couple of things here that Micah needed to point out to the people. Three things. First, Micah is calling upon the people to remember the covenants that God made with his people in the past. Now, what's a covenant? A covenant is a promise, but it's more than that. It's a binding agreement that God makes with his people. And as you read and study the Old Testament, there are, on numerous occasions, places where God makes covenants with his people. And basically, to summarize, these covenants are, God says, I will be your God, and I will lead you, and I will save you, and I will guide you, and I will never forsake you, but you then need to do A, B, C, and D. You need to follow my instructions, you need to worship me, not idols, you need to be faithful to me, and on and on and on. The current edition of holiness today, the entire issue is devoted to this idea of covenant. Holiness Today is our denominational magazine. It comes out every other month. This is the January-February 2020 edition. And there's some good information in here. If you want to study the Old Testament, and in particular you want to study this very important theme of covenant, God's covenant, his binding promises with his people, I would encourage you to pick up a copy of Holiness Today. You can go to holinesstoday.org, I believe. But there's some good information in here, several different articles on covenant. For example, this one. A covenant is an agreement between two individuals or groups of people that establishes the terms of their relationship, which is what God does in the Old Testament. Each partner in a covenant commits to certain things. In the Old Testament, God commits to bless the people with his presence and all his resources. This included some very tangible benefits of material prosperity and well-being. But more importantly, it meant a real personal relationship with God. For Israel's part, they committed to following the instructions God had laid out for living in healthy relationships. The laws conveyed through Moses outlined in detail how people should treat God and other human beings. In order to maintain the covenant relationship, God's people must commit themselves to this lifestyle. So this whole idea of covenant, that God is saying here, one of the things he's saying through the prophet Micah is, my people, remember the covenant that God made with you. God is faithful. He will not break his end of the bargain. But you have. You've walked away from God. And Micah and other prophets in the Old Testament are constantly calling people back to remember their promise to God, their covenant. And so that's why God is baffled. He's saying, what have I done to you? Have I burdened you? Why have you forsaken the covenant when I have done my part and I have been faithful? And this is important for us. God never walks away from us. We are the ones who walk away from him, right? God is faithful, as I began with that scripture reference this morning. God is faithful. He will never leave you. If something's broken in the relationship between you and God, it wasn't God who ended things, it was we who walked away from him. And God is calling us back to remember the covenant that he established with his people. The other thing that Micah here is calling upon the people to do, and twice he uses the word remember. Remember. Remember what God did for you in the past. Remember how God has been faithful to you and brought you this far along. Remember, remember, remember. As a matter of fact, when you read through the Old Testament, the people were constantly called upon to remember all the wonderful things that God has done for them. Why? Because we have a tendency to forget. We do. Our memories fail us, or we get sidetracked with other things. And God constantly calls us, remember. Remember what I did for you? The greatest thing that God ever did in the history of his people was deliver them from Egypt. You remember, they were in captivity. God's people were in captivity in Egypt for 400 years. Slaves in a foreign land. 400 years, can you imagine? And God raised up Moses, you may remember the story, and this dramatic exodus out of Egypt. And God constantly calls his people, who's the the one that raised up Moses? I did. And who's the one that parted the Red Sea so that you could escape? I did all these amazing things. Remember. And to this day, that is one of the greatest acts of God redeeming his people in the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, I'm very excited, and I want you to put this on your calendars. At our church, on Good Friday, which is April the 10th, we are going to have a Passover Seder meal, which is what Orthodox Jews still participate in to this day. And why is this meal so important? Why is this meal so significant? Because every aspect of the Passover Seder meal brings to recollection, brings to memory God's great saving, redeeming act of delivering his people out of Egypt. And not only that, but it's a foretelling of God's great saving act in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to deliver us from our sins. And so put that down, Good Friday, April the 10th, from 6 to 8 here at the church, and we're going to serve lamb. I'm aware other churches in the area in the past have done Seder Passover meals, but they've served chicken. No, not our church. We're going to serve lamb, all right? John the Baptist didn't say to Jesus, "Behold the chicken of God who came to save the world." No, John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God who comes to deliver us from our sins." But Micah is calling the people, remember, remember. Even in the Ten Commandments, we're called to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And so, again, Micah is calling people, you have forgotten all these wonderful things that God has done for you. It's time to remember what God has done for you so that you can get back on track with Him. Remember. Remember the covenants. Remember the Exodus. And then we get into the section here on offerings. And Micah talks a little bit about these offerings here. Remember all those offerings that you gave to the Lord? You know, all these rams and this talk of burnt offerings and oil. Did not those offerings mean anything to you? Have you forgotten the significance of that? But then Micah does something very fascinating here. Remember, Micah is the one who prophesied that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. I believe Micah foretells of the coming Messiah who himself will be the sacrifice to put to rest all these other sacrifices. In verse 7, when he talks about offering the firstborn for the transgressions of the people, well, we know that it was God who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, who died on the cross and was the ultimate sacrifice that put to end all these other sacrifices. We're also reminded in 1 Samuel 15:22. Turn to 1 Samuel 15:22, where, you know, sacrifices were important, but sacrifices to God are of no value if there's no obedience. 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice. And so Micah is saying here, what good is it if you offer all these thousands of rams and all these offerings if you're not going to obey God? And then he says and asks this very, very important question. What does the Lord require of you? And honestly, that's a question that each and every person who's ever lived at some point needs to wrestle with. If there is a God, and if he's done great things in the past for his people and for me, and if he's entered into this covenantal relationship where he has promised to never leave us or forsake us, and he's promised to provide our daily bread, and he's promised to do all these things, if there is a God, what is it that this God requires of me? And Micah, like a good preacher, gives us a three-point sermon right here. And he lays it out, and he says, there's three things that God requires. Act justly or do justice, and to love mercy or to love goodness, and to walk humbly with your God. Let's break these down a little bit. First thing that God requires of his people, to act justly, do the right thing, to live righteously, to do right. We live in a world where people do a lot of wrong. We live in a world where people just do evil things. And we, as God's people, are called to do the right thing all the time, every time. But even more than that, we are to go the second mile. Turn to Luke chapter 6, because Jesus expounds upon this even more. Luke chapter 6. Because if there was any person who did this and lived this out perfectly, it was Jesus. If there was any person who indeed did justice, loved mercy, and walked humbly with God, it was Jesus. And Jesus expounds further on what it means to do justice, to be a person of justice and righteousness. Luke chapter 6, beginning at verse 27. But I tell you, those of you who are listening to me, love your enemies. Don't retaliate against your enemies. Love your enemies. That's doing justice in the eyes of God. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on the one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop from him taking also your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. What does God require of us? To do what is right. To do the right thing. Then Micah says, we are to love mercy, or to love goodness, or to live out the mercy of God. Because God has been merciful to us, and he has been, and he will be, and he always will be, we then are to be merciful to others. Jesus said something like that, very similar in the Beatitudes, Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Now, obviously, we're not Catholics, but the Catholics have 14 acts of mercy that I think would be good for us to review. I mean, Catholics take this stuff seriously. 14, 7 are what they call corporal works of mercy, or things that we do for others. And then the last 7 are the 7 spiritual works of mercy. But number 1, feed the hungry. It's a great act of mercy, right? Number 2, give drink to the thirsty. Number 3, clothe the naked. Number 4, shelter the homeless. Number 5, visit the sick and the imprisoned. Number 6, to help the poor and the needy. And number 7, to bury the dead. Number 8, instruct the ignorant. That's an interesting one. You come across somebody who doesn't know the Word of God, a great act of mercy would be to show them what God requires of them. The next one, give counsel to the doubting. We all have doubts from time to time, right? Surround yourself with people who will build up your faith, not tear it down. The next one, give comfort to the afflicted. The next one, to admonish wrongdoers. The next one, to forgive offenses. Next one, to bear patiently with others. The next one, to pray. Love mercy. Do mercy. Embody mercy. Be merciful. even as God has been merciful to you. And then finally, Micah says here, we are to walk humbly with our God. I think that's a little bit redundant. That's the only way to walk with God, is humbly. You cannot walk arrogantly with God. Anyone who walks with God does so out of great humility, realizing that it is only by God's grace that I can even walk with Him at all. But the Scriptures give us examples of those who walked with God. Enoch in the Old Testament walked with God. There are others who walked with God. I was thinking a couple days ago that walking with God is a wonderful gift that God enables us to do, but it does not mean that we're going to live a trouble-free life. Just because a person of faith walks with God does not exempt us from dealing with the hardships of life. And I think of poor Kay. You know, Kay was minding her own business the other day, walking from home to work, crossing that horrible intersection there on 58th and Main. We've already had several people in the last couple of years hit. I mean, that whole intersection, you know, 58th and Main down to 52nd and Main. I still remember several years ago that poor family with, I believe, three of her children. And some driver just went through and instantly killed those kids. And a family lost, you know, their children right there in that intersection. And then a couple weeks ago, another lady lost her life. That's a horrible intersection. And I was thinking about Kay, just trying to cross the street, just trying to walk to work. And a lady who wasn't paying attention hit her. And Kay, we're so grateful you're okay. Thanks be to God. But just because we walk with God does not mean we're not going to get blindsided by life and the things that happen to us. But here's what walking with God does. 1 John tells us we walk in the light because the blood of His Son purifies us from all unrighteousness. That's why we walk with God.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and E Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.